self-hosted large language model. Mateusz, it's all yours.
Hello, everyone. Hello everyone, so my name is Mateusz and today we will be talking about Paddler, which is a tool for self-hosted large language models at a scale. And to start with, as an introduction, I would like to mention that Paddler is a tool for LLM ops practitioners. And this is important because a lot of people do not even want to acknowledge that LLM ops exists in itself. But I really think it deserves its own niche, it has its own place, because the tooling that we need to deal with when it comes to AI and inference and production usage of those is much different than what we usually see in DevOps and what we see when deploying, for example, classical websites. And we are still figuring out as an industry what works, what doesn't. It is still an infancy stage. But at the same time, businesses who want to use models in production, self-hosted models, yearn for some kind of stability. And this is kind of where Paddler comes in. Paddler is primarily a load balancer, custom tailored for Llama.cpp. We are working on more tools related to the infrastructure, but at the time, it is primarily a load balancer. And it aims to provide scalability and some resiliency in production. And to explain what Paddler is and how to get there, we'll start from the beginning. So if you are wondering how to end up with a project like Paddler, you can follow those few simple steps. So let's say you want to host an open source large language model in production. So you will probably want to start with a single host, and you need to pick a runner. So you can pick between like VLLM, Llama.cpp, or Llama, which is also based on Llama.cpp, maybe something else. I chose Llama.cpp because of how fast it implements new models, of how fast it moves forward, and how many internals it exposes. It is really easy to build custom tools on top of Llama.cpp. And okay, let's say we downloaded Llama.cpp, we downloaded weights from Hugging Space or wherever else. We installed all that on a server, and we can quickly notice that something does not add up quite. Because even if we take some smaller model, like 10, 12 billion parameter model, like Mistral Nemo, for example, it requires about 10 gigabytes of VRAM. To have 10 gigabytes of VRAM, the cheapest solution is like something with T100 GPU, which currently costs about $300 a month on AWS, and for that, we can have an inference speed of about 200 tokens per second. The way concurrency works, it more or less divides tokens between users of the service. So if you have two users, we will have less than 100 tokens per user in terms of generating speed. If we have about 8 users, we will have like 20 to 30 tokens per user, more or less. And to me, like 20 to 30 tokens per second is something on the verge of usability. Anything lower than that, I think that makes your service unusable. So does this mean we can deliver this kind of poor quality experience for $300 a buck? Is this it? And the answer is resounding yes. We are coming back kind of to the 90s with this. And what do I mean by that? We are so used to the fact that we can buy a server for $5 a month, and we can install some kind of web framework, and we can handle like hundreds or thousands of users concurrently on that service. And we are back to the situation where we need expensive hardware, and we can handle maybe dozens of users at once. So in this sense, we need scalability from the start. And this is not only a technical issue, this is also a mentality issue, because when we start a new service, Everybody tells us you do not need scalability from the start. Just push it on production, see if it gains some traction. Maybe later you will need scalability, but we need that from the beginning. So if we need any kind of scalability, it looks like we need some load balancing also. And there are options. There are a lot of load balancing algorithms, but let us go through the most popular ones. So the simplest one would be round robin. So the way this works, let's say we have few servers with LambdaCP and some model running, and the way round robin works, it will distribute requests in circles. So request number one goes to server number one, server number two, server number three, and then back to server number one, just in circles. And this approach works well if the response times are more or less the same all the time. For example, in REST APIs or so, but the issue with LLMs is the response times are really variable because there is a seed of randomness, so even the same, like the same prompt can produce various results. And if we're exposing those prompts to users, one user can, for example, ask a yes or no question that model can answer, and the other user can ask model to generate something like half of the book, really, which will take a few minutes. And if you are unlucky, and you will be, those requests will pile up on one server while the other servers are not busy at all. So that is not good. So maybe we can monitor resources used. And this is really tricky also. It is possible, but it is really hard to get it right. So the GPU usage, for example, if you use it, will stay more or less the same, no matter how many users use the service. And you use, for example, continuous batching as an algorithm for parallelization. So to match those differences, you would need to have some kind of high-resolution monitoring to check very often the GPU usage. And again, we are used to the fact, for example, with websites, that the more users we have, the usage gradually grows, and it's easy to detect when we need to scale up or down. But it is much harder here. So maybe something else. The option number three would be to use list connections. So we can, for example, maybe serve inferences over HTTP. And from the load balancer perspective, maybe we can issue new requests to the servers who are handling the least amount of requests at the moment, which in itself would work well. But the issue is the resources are so limited that we need something application-specific. We need a load balancer that knows what it is balancing exactly, so it can react accordingly to this situation. Because again, it is really easy to clog up servers with new requests. So this is finally where Parler comes in. So it uses different balancing algorithms depending on the endpoints. So when there is an endpoint that uses inference device, it uses list connection, plus it uses LambdaCPP internals to know how many resources the server can handle, so it doesn't bug it down further. It introduces some kind of resiliency to the infrastructure, which I will explain later, and also it is capable of sending statsd metrics if your infrastructure needs to scale up or down, which is, for example, usable in staging environments because it can also scale from zero hosts. And the way Parler works in general, you do not specify the workers or the LambdaCPP workers from the load balancer level. Instead, you start a load balancer, and the agents, that are Parler agents that are installed alongside LambdaCPP, register themselves in Parler. So it's kind of reverse to what most load balancers do. And this allows Parler to scale from zero hosts, because, which means you can start some cheap compute instance, and it can start more expensive GPU or TPU or whatever inference device instances when they are actually needed. It can also pose as a LambdaCPP server itself because, okay, it forwards endpoints, but it can also aggregate some metrics. For example, if you have two LambdaCPP instances and one of them is configured to handle 8 requests at most, and the other one, for example, 7, it can pose itself as a single LambdaCPP instance with 15 slots to handle. It can also buffer requests, delay them, or redirect them to LambdaCPP instances that have 3 slots to handle them. So, for example, if your infrastructure is scaling up or down, it can buffer the request. It can wait until a new host appears in infrastructure, and only then it will direct it to that Llama CPP instance. So it helps to avoid situations where user, for example, it would be enough for user to wait just for a few seconds and their request would be handled, and otherwise it would be dropped. In itself, Paddler is lightweight. It is based on Pingora framework from Cloudflare. So if that kind of network framework is good enough for Cloudflare stack, it is also most likely good for your stack also, including mine. And the heaviest thing it adds on top of Llama CPP are just health checks, which I think are a standard thing in application-aware balancers. So it does a health check once 10 or 30 seconds, mostly for the integrity's sake, to see how many slots are actually left in Llama CPP. And that's it. So scalability is also simple because since it can pose as Llama CPP itself, it can aggregate some statistics. You can experiment. You can, for example, maybe balance paddlers with paddlers. You can use maybe some other proxy in front of it, like HA proxy. So you can experiment. This is also useful for staging environments because you can set it up so only a compute instance is running, and it will only start more expensive instances when they are actually needed. I have also seen people who are using Paddler in their home labs, for example. So you have Raspberry Pi Zero running all the time. If it needs to do some inference, it starts your GPU device with Wake on LAN or stuff like that. So it has a lot of uses. High availability is also kind of easy because you can keep a Paddler instance in your, for example, backup region because sometimes there are issues. Maybe I'm unlucky, but in the last 16 years, the data center in which I had servers burned down, so you do not really need high availability until you do. So the idea is to, for example, you can keep your infrastructure in the primary region, and you can have a backup region on a standby. And if your primary region goes down, you redirect requests to a backup region. And in that backup region, you don't have to keep your entire GPU stack, like GPU infrastructure stack, up all the time. And how does Paddler compares to other projects? So Paddler was not made to compete with any other project. Paddler was made to help projects cooperate. But still, we can compare it to some other projects. And people often ask me about Llama CPP RPC. So Llama CPP RPC is built in Llama. It does a similar thing to Paddler, but in the opposite way. You define the hosts in llama.cpp in the network, and this is a static setup. So you just attach inference devices to Llama CPP, it will distribute requests. But Paddler is more focused on the infrastructure. It adds those metrics. It can scale from zero hosts. And it makes sense to use both, really, at the same time. Because you can configure an infrastructure, for example, in a way where Paddler, when you can bring up small clusters of Llama CPP RPC and let Paddler manage them and balance requests between them. So you can kind of look at Paddler as a reverse proxy, while Llama CPP RPC is kind of a forward proxy. And for the future plans, we are considering bundling Llama CPP with Paddler. Because currently you need to have compatible version of Llama CPP with a compatible version of Paddler, and if we bundle the both, it will avoid such issues. We are also considering adding support for other runners, for example, Olama, and we are planning to expose semantic versioning API, but not only for inference, but also to manage servers, because we want to go further into this infrastructure and operations path. And I would like to use this opportunity to give a shout out to contributors, especially Luis Miguel, who recently contributed a lot of awesome stuff, like console dashboard and initial sketch of supervisor, but really to everyone. And if you would like to join our community, we have a GitHub repo Discord server. You can reach out to me personally. And thank you for your attention. If you have any questions, I will be happy to answer them.
So, We have a few minutes for questions, so if somebody has a question, please. And shout it. Okay, no questions so far. Thank you very much, Mateusz.